I would like to also acknowledge that I had a research assistant, Jason Rice, who is newly appointed PhD. He is now faculty here in Chicago, so he has moved on. But he helped me with this work for the last 3 years. I have no relationships to disclose. And our session objectives, hopefully, for today will be for us to consider one way in which a community coalition can impact public health and describe characteristics of said coalition that may benefit its effectiveness. And so, thank you for setting the stage for rural and then our counterpart to urban. I'm going back to rural now. While I live in Louisville, which is urban, I do a lot of work with rural areas throughout the state of Kentucky and elsewhere, because there is a great need for physical activity and basically any type of health promotion in areas where there are lack of access to resources and preventive type services. So, in this particular rural county where I was called to work, there were no physical activity opportunities or places. Now, there it was a couple of elementary schools, one middle school and one high school. And as you know, in rural areas, particularly in the South, there is a huge push for certain organized sports that really heavily include boys. So there was a very active football team. The girls had not much to do after school. So further, during the summertime, the summer brain drain, children had nothing to do during the summer. So a very small group of concerned citizens can make a change. So a very small group of concerned citizens in this rural county came together and were talking because they were friends and said, what do the other kids do? Because these parents that came together had the affluence and the means to be able to drive their children an hour to Louisville for horseback riding lessons and soccer practice and all types of paid activities. But then they were thinking, well, what do the other children do after school? And what do they do during the summer? So this was a really innovative approach for the affluent citizens of a small rural town to actually think, like, well, what about the other children? And so they really had an interesting health equity focus, and they were very civic-minded and very civically engaged. Very grassroots oriented, very locality development. And as you know from, or probably know from community organizing models, those types of civically engaged and community organized grassroots efforts empower communities, and there's a lot of buy-in from people instead of, you know, a very top-down approach or a social planning approach, we as university professors going into community to make the change. When the change comes from within, it's more sustainable. So, with that being said, this small group of concerned citizens began these conversations to address physical activity access and their health disparities, and they really wanted to create a physical space for the children in their community to come together and play with each other, children of all ages. They organized and developed a nonprofit status. Because once you organize and achieve nonprofit status, you can apply for federal type funding and a lot of funding opportunities had you have not been able to seek elsewhere. They pulled together a team of grant writers, which were retired school teachers and insurance sales persons. So, you know, just a very bright group of people came together for great grant writing and were trying to frame their message to meet the funders' guidelines. They were not quite successful in grant speak. So the funding agency said, you know what, you have a phenomenal idea. You have a great group of people. You're very enthusiastic and have civic-minded, let's pair you up with GrantSpeak. And so they called me. And so I was able to sit with them and look at what their wants and needs were and help get it into funding agencies, the keywords the funding agencies were looking for. And I think that's a really important position for, I don't know if you're researchers or university professors, but to help communities identify their needs in their terms and then put it into language that funding agencies are seeking. So this study was a three-year study. They were funded and funded very nicely. It was a three-year study, and it was a multi-intervention study. But for today, I'm just going to give you a small sliver of what our of what some of the results are. The project is now officially over, and I'll tell you more about that later. The purpose of this particular study was to investigate the coalition's effectiveness in moving toward sustainable community-wide physical activity programming and places for all community members. In addition, I also looked at children, individual level children's health behaviors and outcomes, community awareness, attraction, attachment, and allegiance to physical activity, to the community itself, and to or to those. And I also looked at a doc student present 2 days ago on child-parent physical activity influence and how those influence each other. And then today, the coalition efficacy. When putting this project into a terminology and a study design, I obviously use an ecological perspective to address the individual level children's health behaviors and attitudes and parental perceptions, the interpersonal relationships such as among the children and between the parents and the children and the parents themselves, the school teachers and the community members, and today I'll also present at the organizational community and society levels. I also framed this project within Fran Butterfoss's Community Coalition Action Theory. She has a nice survey instrument that helps community organizers look at what the community needs are. And it was very tangible for the community members to actually see like a framework from which we've put their study together. So the methods that I used for over the last 3 years were a variety, but for this particular project, I conducted qualitative assessments over the 3 years, consisting of semi-structured interviews and focus groups, numerous informal conversations with key stakeholders such as parents and teachers, and lots of volunteers, and then numerous observations. So for example, I would go to community forums and community meetings, community events, 5Ks, and I went to fundraisers where they rented a barn and decorated it beautifully and raised $80,000. So it's pretty amazing. The participants in the study, again, were coalition members, program staff, a very small program staff, a board of directors, so a leadership committee, lots of school teachers and community members such as parents and business owners. I recorded all interviews and focus groups, and I transcribed all of them verbatim, and then I, along with my research assistant, coded them into themes. So here are the results that we came away with for this piece of the project. When working with communities, it is diverse, strong leadership, obviously, is key. Informing the coalition's board of directors in 2008, when this project originally was in its infancy stage, the community members had the innovation to think, we need to get different people from different perspectives on this planning team. with a variety of points of view. It was a small group, but they were very powerful and represented a variety of areas within their community. For example, there were faith-based organizations, school members, or school board members, insurance salespersons, a retired psychologist, so a variety of different perspectives. And a variety, I didn't put this in my results, I'll put it in my paper, but a variety of political affiliations and perspectives too. So that was really beautiful to see in a small rural southern town, to see that they came together for a common cause, physical activity, leaving political and faith-based organization agendas behind. So I'll put that in my discussion in the paper. Stay tuned. Another key theme was informal policies and partnerships. Since there's no common facility for everyone to come together, the community really had to rely on partnerships and policies with the schools, and the relationship with the school administrators was absolutely instrumental. Two quotes, and I will read them to you. I've seen other boards where you have too many bankers or lawyers. This group actually does have diversity in how many people think and how people think and how they appreciate the different ways of thinking. Keep in mind, I went to several of these meetings and town hall meetings, and there were a variety of perspectives, and people spoke them politely and professionally and persistently, but again, they kept coming back to that common mission that we need children to have a safe place to play for everyone. So it was really nice that they just kept coming back to that core mission. Another quote was, they're from here. They've gone off to school and came back to this community, and they want to see our county grow and become a better place to raise your kids. So this is a very family and community-oriented area, and again, leaving their other agendas behind to come back to that core mission. We got a good executive director, and that is very, very adamant about getting things done, and he wants to get things done right. It's details and thought out and very organized in all aspects. Everybody that they put in place for these programs are good people, and he has done a job of finding people, and not just finding people, but finding experts at the way it needs to get done so people will keep coming back. This is verbatim. A key champion is the person that you strategically put in place that brings other experts to the table. The other emergent theme was the informal policies and practices, or partnerships. From the ecological perspective, this is the organizational level, the schools. We cannot operate without the public schools, but because we have so many of our programs housed in the schools. They provide all kinds of volunteers. Many school employees volunteer and head up programs while some are coaches in our programs. Some provide, or school provides, transportation to and from location that we need. And our summer camps, there are fields, and they provide the buses for those, so they have been tremendous in helps of making our program possible. Again, in a small community, schools are often the hub of the community. And it was really smart for this community to include a school board member on the board of directors for this coalition, because it allowed openness in order to have these policies in place. Now, none of these policies are written. And you probably won't find that in small towns, written policies. They're very informal, and if you're on the team, then you're more willing to bring your assets to the table. So, again, strategic in putting that coalition together. The Chamber of Commerce, this is at the community level of the socio-ecological model. The Chamber of Commerce is always there putting out information. They have a regular website and newsletter that goes out to lots of people. Anything that our community does is on that site, and they help participate. Again, the Chamber of Commerce has stepped up and provided free advertising for this community effort around physical activity. And so you might not find that in other areas, but this community has really come together again for a common cause. And then at the higher level of the socio-ecological model, you have the government or the policies or the society. And local government, they are the same way. They share some resources. They help us with facility improvement when possible. They meet regularly with our executive director and chairman of the board to help with projects our community is doing. So we have good relationship with all of them. So I want to pulled out a couple of points for the discussion, and these align really well with my original hypotheses way back 3 years ago about this community coalition. And so to answer the research question or the session objectives and my original research questions, yes, the development of a grassroots group of community coalitions can be an effective strategy for addressing public health in a rural community, especially a rural community with very limited human, financial, and physical resources. Unique findings to this particular study highlight that community members who mobilize around a common mission are more likely to share their resources and connect community assets from within, thus achieving sustainability. I hope we'll talk about this if necessary. Some things for us to consider in perhaps scaling this to other rural communities. Obviously, a qualitative study about a particular community cannot be generalizable to every rural community. But there are some considerations. When working with rural communities, I, and perhaps you too, go into these communities thinking that there is a great sense of rural independence. So as a university researcher from not within, keep that in mind to not dictate what the rural community is wanting to do. All my role was to do was to help measure the things that they wanted to try to accomplish. So I came in as a facilitator, not as a leader. So please keep in mind, or I do, the rural independence. And the communities, especially in rural South, want to pave their own way. They had considered applying for like a YMCA, but their per capita and their income didn't quite meet the criteria, and they wanted to create something of their own. So again, that goes a little bit back to the rural independence. Also, communities need something to bring them together. In this particular rural community, there was a lot of faith-based organizations, but that was not going to work for a faith-based organization to house this initiative, because if you are one particular denomination, then another one might not show up. And so they all came together for a common cause of not being supported or funded by a faith-based organization, but by a coalition of nonprofit status. So that was pretty smart as well. And then lastly, in their community, their whole goal was to retain people to their community and reattract people back to their community after they've gone away to college to bring them back home. So I want to read one final closing thought. It's long, but bear with me, because I think this is beautiful, the way that it sums up the project. I think this is such a strong community, and I know this because, and I know I'm biased because I was born here, raised here, and worked all my life in this community and raised a family here. But I just see the people here as being so caring and willing to give of their time, which translate into resources to make this project work. It's just been amazing to me how many people will volunteer and give up a Saturday or a week or whatever to help with this. And every program has volunteers in it. And if you think, I think the numbers I heard recently in the first 2 years we served like 800 or 900 kids. And when you think about how many volunteers it took to run all of these programs, that's pretty amazing, I think, for a small community. So I think our most valuable resources are the generosity of the people who live here and their desire to make it a better place. Perfect timing.
Yeah, right on.
Thank you. Thank you.